You see a group of kids walking on the street in the daytime, and you don't think much of it. They're just out having a good time. You see those same kids walking in the dark at night, and you automatically think, what are they up to? Somebody comes up to your house in the daytime, comes to your front door, and you think, oh, I wonder what they want. Are they selling something? Do they need something? In the darkness, somebody comes to your door. You get your gun, right? Or you hide. You lock the doors. You get a little anxious about what they're doing there. Something about darkness in movies and in life causes us to have fear. It often brings out the worst in people. This is the case of our gospel tonight. Last week, you might remember, Jesus was praying in the garden, and he was praying that God would give him the strength to do God's will, and he ended his prayer by saying, "Thy will be done, not my will, but yours be done." And while he was doing this, he was telling his disciples to pray that they might not fall into temptation. And what do? They fell asleep out of fear. And while Jesus is telling them to keep praying, a crowd shows up in the dark. It's night. Darkness has fallen. And on this particular night, Jesus even acknowledges what's going on. He says that the hour, this is your hour, and darkness is in control. Another translation reads, and power is in the darkness. This is the time of darkness. This is the betrayal of Christ. The first person, there's multiple characters in this account. The first person we see in this account is Judas, whose name is synonymous with what he does. Betrayal. He comes to Jesus and he kisses him. Now for our modern ears, that sounds a little bizarre, one man kissing another in such a way, but in this day and age, this kiss is a greeting. I would liken it to a kiss that a son would give to his father or to his grandfather, which might, even to our words or our world, still sound a little weird, but it's, in the kiss is represented usually compassion. It's the communion between two close friends. It's deep intimacy. It's affection for the person. It's loyalty to that person. This is a student addressing his master as a student should. But this particular kiss is pure hypocrisy. It's the worst of all ways to betray another person. The hour is at hand. Darkness is in control. After Judas betrays Christ, the disciples see that something is going to go down, that something is happening. These are the people that have followed Jesus for probably about 3 years. They've seen him do all sorts of amazing things. He has healed people in their presence. He has spoken words like, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are you who are meek." They've heard these words. They've seen him heal people, give life to the dead. They're his disciples. Yet in this dark hour, when they see what's coming, they turn fearful and they respond in fear. As with many people in the world, their response, their fearful response, is one of violence. They even ask Jesus, "Should we get our swords out?" And before Jesus can even answer, Peter, we find out it's Peter from John's gospel, Peter goes and cuts off the ear of the servant to the high priest. The time is now. Darkness is in control. And then the chief priests come with the temple police force, these men who are to be and supposed to be men of peace, who have cried out against the oppression of the Roman occupiers, now come in force against a man who they have seen do marvelous deeds, a man who is truly a man of peace. Darkness has come. Darkness is in control. It can feel like for many of us that darkness is in control, that we live in a time of darkness, especially if the political landscape isn't turning out quite like you want it to, as Super Tuesday just happened. It might really feel like darkness is in control, but for some of us it might feel like there's a little bit of light. Our family situations, we can feel like darkness is in control. In our marriages, in our children, their issues, our places of employment, all these things, it can feel like darkness is in control. If you are ill, if you are fighting against cancer or some other disease, it can feel like darkness is in control. And it can lead us to respond in fear. It can lead us to be frightful. And a fearful response is often not a very good one. Fear, the lack of trust like the disciples had, the seeking after power, all sin eventually comes down to the one word. We are all represented in the betrayer tonight. We know this. What are the words we say when we celebrate communion? What are the very first words we always hear from those words of institution? Can you think of what they are? On the night in which he was betrayed. Now, it's not just idle words. We don't just say that because we're setting the time and place of an event. Those words are a law. They are words of conviction. They place each and every one of us in the garden. We're with the disciples. We're with the chief priests. We're with the betrayer. Those words describe you, and they describe me, on the night in which he was betrayed, when there was great darkness, and darkness was in control. But thankfully, when we do celebrate communion, we get to hear, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. We get to hear the good news that comes with it, because on this night when darkness is in control, the one who's really in control is Jesus himself. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins." The betrayal has to happen so that the promises that come true and are given to you and I in the bread and the wine can come to pass. Christ is in control. Christ willingly and obediently goes to the darkness so that we can receive the promises, even as enemies, even as we are betrayers. We receive the promises of Christ who allowed himself to be betrayed. You and I are betrayers, but Christ died for you. He died for me. So that in faith we might receive him. Receive his broken body. Receive his blood spilt for us. And receive his forgiveness. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, we do find ourselves in the betrayer's shoes. The darkness of this world causes us to be fearful, and in our fear we often sin against you. We lash out in anger at our friends, our family, our spouses, our children. We find ourselves to be untrusting of your will. But despite all of this, Lord, you are in control. You willingly submit yourself to the cross, to the arrest, to the betrayal for us, that we might receive in your body, in your blood, and in your word, the sweet words of forgiveness and the sweet promises that you give us of eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for your life. We pray this in your name. Amen.